Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to AnCast. I'm Zach Birchie. Lindsay's here.
Heyo.
How's it going?
I'm getting over a cold, but
yeah,
I'm doing pretty good otherwise.
Some con crud.
Yeah,
definitely.
I usually don't fall victim to that crap, but it got me this time.
Post Anime Expo.
Yep.
Yeah. So you may notice if you're listening to this now, it's Friday. Hey, Zach, you fucking said that there would be audio of the ANN panel from Anime Expo to go up as last week's episode. And you're right, I did say that. And unfortunately, I lied to you. And did not post it because TBH, which I believe is what the kids say when they're about to be honest with you, I didn't think that the panel was... The panel audio was particularly interesting. I thought it was kind of like, all right, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about stuff anyone who listens to this show, like, definitely already knows.
Yeah.
And most of it is Q&A. And the Q&A is, and it's a little scattered. Some of it I would have to cut out. Like, I don't know. I didn't think it was very strong. And I'm kind of kicking myself. Because I really wish I had taped the other panel that we did that weekend, the, you know, getting into anime journalism, which, as a result of my extremely good panelists, was very, very good.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, I'm not tooting my own horn here. It's like definitely the contributions of the other panelists that really elevated it past what it normally is. So,
you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. you included. Yes, thank you. Yeah, so that's why that didn't go up, because I was like, it's not as strong as I would hope. The panel was fine. It's just, I don't know. I didn't think listeners of this show would really be super in love with it. So anyway, here's an episode for you. Anyway, we're back this time. There you go. See? There you go. Everything's fine. Anime Expo happened. But before AX... you and I took a little detour. You came in a day early. You were like, yeah, let's go to Disneyland. And I was like, all right, well, you twisted my arm.
Boy, it's sure really is, hard to get Zach to go to Disneyland.
Sure is tough to get me to go. So Star Wars Land is open and it's been open for about a month. For about a month, you could only get into it with a reservation, which meant staying on property. Like, in other words, if you wanted to get into Star Wars Land at all, you could buy Disneyland tickets but not have access to it for about a month after it opened, unless you were staying at one of the hotels. The hotel's average cost is $500 a night, by the way. So you'd have to be staying for like two nights, and then they would give you a reservation for Star Wars Land. Then on June 24th or so, I think that's when it opened up just to anyone who was visiting the park. And crowds were like basically not really materializing. Like, the first day it was open, like in the morning, it was kind of busy. And then by the afternoon, though, it, you know, thinned out. And like since then, it had kind of thinned, like significantly. It's like the crowds weren't really showing up. So what they did is they were like, hey, if you have an annual pass, which I do, you can get in. We'll give you a park hopper, which means you can get into both Disneyland and California Adventure for $100 a head, which is $50 less than standard admission right now. Which is like, please come. we're not going to unblock annual passes, which is what they should do, honestly, if they really want people to show up. So here's the weird thing. Because it's like, people are like, well, why aren't the crowds really materializing for this thing? You'd think it like is super hyped up. One, people are definitely staying away because it was overhyped. Like, oh no, don't go anywhere near. Like, who would though? Like, who would plan their summer vacation around like Disneyland peak summertime and Star Wars Land is opening? Come on.
Right.
Like, and Star Wars Land opens right then. Like,
sounds terrifying.
That sounds awful, right? Like, who would put themselves through that? So, yeah, crowds are staying away. Also, it opened up in Disneyland first. Now, Disneyland is a much more of, like, a locals park. Like, it has, like, over a million annual pass holders, and they are largely what is responsible for the crowds at Disneyland. When everyone is blacked out, which they are right now during the summertime, and especially during this Star Wars-ian period, when they're blacked out, honestly, that's the time to go. Like, if you want to go on a vacation to Disneyland, which most people pick Disney World because if you're going to spend thousands of dollars on a Disney vacation, you do it at Disney World.
Right.
Say, like, you're West Coast and you want to spend less money, you go to Disneyland. Pick the times when all annual pass holders are blocked out, like summertime or, like, not Christmas Day itself, but the days surrounding Christmas. So, like, the week before or the week after. Actually, the week after, I think it's generally open. Just pick a time when annual pass holders are blocked out. You're going to have a great time. The park will be, like, half full, which is how it is right now. And Star Wars did not really change that. But anyway, so you and I went the day before AX. It was cool as fuck.
Yeah. It wasn't too hot.
No. It wasn't really that many people there.
Yeah. Lines weren't atrocious. We walked right into Star Wars and...
It was like being in a Star War. It was like being right there.
So the area is called Black Spire Outpost.
Yeah,
Black Spire Outpost. And I was really impressed with the theming that they did. Like,
yeah, it's over the top.
We got pictures of like trash cans and stuff. Just like everything was really on point to immerse you in there.
I wonder like how much of that stuff is going to survive like a year, because like they have like a bazaar that it looks like you're walking through like a set dressed Star Wars, like they're just about to film. Like that's right. How it feels. Feels like the JJ. It feels mostly like The Force Awakens. IMO. It feels mostly like that.
Yeah, it's very like kind of Star Wars desert, you know, like,
yeah, run down junky. Yeah. Run down junky, but like in that sort of charming 80s looking kind of way. But the toy shops have like sort of fake bespoke artisanal Star Wars toys,
puppets.
Like rag dolls and puppets and like wooden things. And like, it feels like that's the stuff where like in a year from now, that's going to be gone and they're just going to have standard ass, you know, Darth Vader figures in there and shit.
They'll replace their hot dogs in a pita.
Yeah.
Space hot dogs.
The $14 special Star Wars pita. They were selling like customized Salacious Crumb puppets. Like you could paint a Salacious Crumb and have a Salacious Crumb to walk around with. I don't know what
it was like a marionette, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little puppet. Not really a marionette. Like it had like a squeezy thing on it. I think you could like turn its head and like make it cackle.
I mean, it wasn't like a hand.
I don't know what else you would need.
You didn't like wear it on your hand.
Well, I think you were supposed to put it on your shoulder. Like it was like a like you know, like at Renaissance fairs, they have like the fake dragon puppet that you like sits on your shoulder, and like the there's like a certain type of guy that has that. But
I know Renaissance fairs.
Yeah, you're like, hey, don't test me on Renaissance fairs.
Yeah.
I know, huzzah, motherfucker.
Yeah,
I think it was supposed to be one of those things. Like it rests on your shoulder. But anyway, so they had that, and then there's a ride that's open. So the thing about Star Wars right now is the big ride. There's a really big fucking ride. Like it's supposed to be Disney's big old middle finger to everyone else about theme parks. Like, hey, we're still king shit on Turd Island, as the saying goes. It's called Rise of the Resistance, nicknamed the Kylo Ren ride. It is not open, and it does not open until next year in Disneyland, like January, I think. Yeah. Then it opens in December. They just announced this. It opens in December in Florida. So you're going to miss it by a couple, because you're going to Florida
to Florida in like early November. So
you'll just miss it. You'll just have time to see the same fucking thing you've already seen.
Yeah.
The thing that we saw that was open already was the Millennium Falcon ride called Smuggler's Run that features a Star Wars character I do not know.
Voiced by Pete the Cat.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And it is basically Star Tours, except it's a video game. So you have six people. Presumably, you have six people. You all get into a cockpit. Two of you are pilots. Two of you are gunners. Two of you are engineers. And, you know, a little movie plays. The thing rocks around. You got to shoot down things and steer the ship and avoid the video game obstacles. And it looks fine, but it looks kind of like a, you know, PS4 game, like a really like, you know, running in 4K, like it's a good look. It looks good, but it looks like a video game.
We were pilots both times.
Yeah, when we did a bad job. Both
we weren't good at it.
We were not good at it. But the first time, you know, again, there wasn't hardly anyone there, so we were able to do this twice. The first time, the wait was like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And then the second time was basically walk-on, single rider. The first time, we had a full crew. The second time, single rider, they just put us both in the same cabin with no one else.
Yeah.
So we didn't have gunners or engineers. We were like, well, I guess someone has to steer the ship. So we tried to steer and we're bad at it again. And then, yeah. So I don't know. It, like, in hindsight, also, like, the story of that ride is, like, really minimal. It feels like a video game, like, fetch quest. It's literally, like, Star Wars character I don't recognize. Also, like, there's no Star Wars characters in it that you would recognize if you only watched the movies and, like, not any of the side shit. Except for Chewbacca, who's in it for, like, 2 seconds. It's like, hey, pick up these two canisters of stuff. So you pick up the canisters.
And coaxial cables.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay, here's the credits that you owe me for damage to the ship, minus, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it gives you a score at the end.
Uh-huh.
But that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else happening on that ride. So it feels kind of it's very much D-ticket. Like, it's like, it's very expensive looking. It's fun. You know, it's neat and everything, but it's very much D-ticket. So they need to get that other ride open. And I feel then it will really blossom to its full potential, but it's fucking neat as heck. It's really cool. I'm glad we got to see it. That was neat.
Yeah. Yeah, the area, it's, I mean, even if the ride's not so great, the area, I mean, they've got a 1-to-1 scale Millennium Falcon in there, a TIE fighter, a couple other ships and stuff hanging around. So if you're, like, really into that, or, you know, you've been a big fan of Star Wars for a while, it can be pretty exciting just to be that close to the Millennium Falcon, as it were. But,
admittedly, like, the ships were supposed to be 1-to-1, and they looked kind of small to me.
Yeah.
But then I thought, like, oh, well, you know, this is supposed to be piloted by one person. So really, how big is it going to be?
Yeah, it's not going to be like the freighter of,
of
ships. The animatronics throughout the area were really cool, too. Like, we saw some cool robot/aliens just hanging out in.
Yeah, the shops are like little attractions, like the place where you make a lightsaber, which no thanks. But it was cool as hell in there, like. They had, like, an animatronic alien dude, you know, fake making lightsabers behind the counter. And, like, it's all set dressed. And, like, so all the horribly underpaid, overworked employees they have to be in character all the time.
Right.
So, like, when I paid for my extremely overpriced hot dog with a credit card or with a debit card, they were like, I need to see your alternative identification or your alternative credential.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And she's like, your credential. And I was like, oh, my ID for the credit card. And I was like, oh, that's the in character thing. Do they make you do that all the time? And she like, they're not allowed to break character. But she kind of gave me a nod and I was like, they paying you extra for that? And she got this look like, nope. And I was like, that sucks. Like, hopefully they can demand that next. I know they just got, I think they just got $15 minimum wage. So hopefully they'll get that next. I really feel bad for their point.
Yeah, what was the question you asked the standby guy?
Oh, I was like, how many pods are in this Millennium Falcon? Because we went in one that was in the other one. Like, there's like a couple of different entrances. I don't know how many theaters there are, though. Because it's a cockpit that seats 6. You know,
and you get a different color, so they're like, you know, they group you by color on your ticket.
Yeah,
so like red, green. I would think there's at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, well, because the first thing I asked the guy was like, "Hey, so how's it going?" And he gave me this look and was like, "You know, it's going." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So is this guy on the level or what?" And then I was like, "So how many pods do they, how many bays do they have? How many cockpits are in here?" And he like suddenly snapped to and was like, "Oh, there's only one. We only have one ship here." And then like they were doing maintenance on a part of the ride while we were in it, and they were
everybody.
And it was just like a regular maintenance man. He wasn't wearing a Star Wars costume. He's just wearing like a normal, like a polo shirt and some khakis. And they were like, oh, I still got to, you know, work on the old bird. Heh heh. And you're like, oh, geez, this is like, you don't have to talk to me like this. It's okay. Yeah, no, it was cool. Everyone who goes to Disneyland will see it, whatever. It'll be there forever.
I think my favorite part of the whole thing was actually because we were there late. And so you got to see fireworks. And when we were kind of watching the fireworks in the, it's like we're watching the fireworks over in Naboo or something. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, they did a real nice job. It looked like it is legitimately the most impressive themed area, like theme park area I have been in. Now, that includes DisneySea, which is the other, like, most impressive thing. But it's, you know, this is supposed to be the most impressive thing. Like, that was their whole selling point. This is going to blow your fucking mind. And it will eventually once that big ride gets open. But yeah. They came pretty close this time. They came pretty close. I did buy one of their those are official canon canisters of
Coke
and Diet Coke. So I got a Diet Coke and this stupid little thermal detonator looking thing. I don't know why they made it look so close to a bomb. But it's supposed to be
risky.
Like it's supposed to be like the in-universe. Like, no, this is real. This is what Luke Skywalker would drink a fucking Coke out of. So right. Get excited about that, you nerd asshole. Like, that's what it's there for. So we did not. The only thing we didn't see was the cantina, I think, because there's like a long line for that.
Yeah.
But I peeked in and it's neat. Sure does seem like a Star Wars cantina.
Yeah.
They're playing the oboe music that you were hoping for. So. So after that was Anime Expo.
Woo!
How was your Anime Expo this year?
You know, it wasn't bad. I think because the weather was better, inside wasn't like a complete monstrosity as far as like getting from place A to B from panel to panel I didn't get pulled by a wave of human like from one area to another, trying to like swim against the tide of attendees. So yeah, everything seemed more spread out or, you know, I don't know if it was less attended. AX says they had 350,000 people this year.
Well, that's,
so.
Yeah, that's okay.
Right.
That's turnstile.
Right.
I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not the real number. That's literally like how many people in and out of the convention center every day, no matter how many times their badge has been scanned.
Right.
So one person's getting counted over and over again.
Yeah.
And I hate it when they do that because as, you know, as reporters, not me, but you, as a news organization, that makes it impossible. Like, okay, do you want us to divide by five? I don't think you do. Because that number's going to be pretty low. So, like, just tell us number of badges sold, which I'm sure was a bit in the 100, 110, 120,000 range. It did feel less crowded, though. I will say that I did. I only got stuck in a tsunami of flesh a few times.
Yeah,
but not really bad enough. And like once I figured out like that where the priority entrances were.
Yeah,
it was. I had no trouble getting in
through the garage.
Yeah, through the garage. Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. But that's because I have all this privilege as a member of the press. I could just get in and out. On the first day, it was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
They totally boned it. Like, it sucked. Like, it was hard. It was hard getting around just around the lines.
Yeah.
To get in.
Yeah.
God, it was bad.
Like,
that was,
get hit by a car or be stuck here for hours.
I'm not sure that was as bad as it was a couple years ago when they had the line snaking down through, like, the underpass, like, under the freeway.
Yeah, okay, I remember that. I remember people taking pictures under the overpass.
I'm not sure it was as bad as that, but the line seemed as long. And you couldn't really get around it. And at the beginning, like, people didn't even know where the priority entrances were, so the police were just letting, not the police, security was just letting people with press badges and industry badges through the side, skipping the security theater altogether.
Yeah, that's what we did the first time, first day.
Bullshit. Yeah, what a load. And they had, like, 8 security gates for it to process, like, easily tens of thousands of people.
Right. I mean, it got so crowded. Well, there was, you know, the earthquakes, and there was an image that was being passed around on social media that the news channel thought that the line outside of AX were people being evacuated because of the earthquake. But no, it was just people trying to get through security and waiting in line for 4 or 5 hours to get in.
During the first earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah, because there were multiple earthquakes.
There were several.
Yeah. Just to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, technically, the biggest earthquake in the last 20 years happened while we were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was eating Korean barbecue when that happened.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
Yeah. Anyway, so what did you see that was good, cool, what? Like?
Okay, so I think probably the highlight as far as what I saw, and I didn't even get to see the whole thing because I had another engagement, but I got to see the first half of Promare and really kind of enjoyed what they're doing with that. Want to see the rest of it really bad. So I guess I'll have to wait until a theater screening or something. But, you know, I was surprised as far as the plot set up for that. It seems very on point for certain current events. I know they came out and said that it was not intended to be a political film.
Yeah, they definitely
bullshit.
You watched half of it, so if you had seen the other half, you would have watched them literally have the Burnish characters write themselves out of being a direct political metaphor for much of anything in particular.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Trust me, I was watching for that.
Yeah.
And for a while, it certainly seems that that's where it's headed, but no. There's a bunch of in-universe stuff that would prevent your metaphor from making a lot of sense. So,
oh. Yeah. Well, that's disappointing.
Well, it's still a really good movie. I liked it a lot. I watched a screener. I didn't get to see it with a big hyped up audience, which is probably the best way to watch that movie.
The color design is really cool. I like the color design for it.
Yeah, my only spark of disappointment was the fact that I felt like it kind of backed off of... it still has quite a lot to say, but it is Trigger's ethos, not a political allegory for anything happening in Western politics right now.
Oh, okay.
So, it is intended to embody Trigger's ethos, which it definitely does. My disappointment was pretty much just that, okay, well, Trigger, I understand Trigger's ethos, so this movie is, it's cool, I like it. I wouldn't put it on, I was really blown away thematically or anything. Like, it's neat, I liked it. But for the most part, I feel like if they had done the mechanical animation by hand instead of with CG, and this movie relies very heavily on CG, on 3D CG for all of the mechanical animation, and it looks great, but that's by virtue of the direction and the art design. The direction is fucking fantastic. The fight choreography is fucking fantastic. The color design, the art design is fucking fantastic, because it always is with Trigger stuff. That's what makes it special. With the animation itself, the actual 3D CG stuff, it's not particularly impressive looking. So there's a ton of it. So it looks great, but if it had been, and this is literally it looks great, I liked it plenty. But my mind kept wondering, if they had done this mechanical animation by hand, this would rival, Redline for, eye-fucking-popping awesome bullshit. It would have been something, but that would have taken years and been way more expensive and all that other shit. So I get it, but those are my only two little things about it. But, I think it's a crowd pleaser. If you watch it, you will enjoy it. So. But the earthquake happened during, didn't it happen during the Q&A session after that or something?
Yeah. So I was out of the theater by the point that happened, mm-hmm. but people told me that, you could see the light fixtures swaying above the audience and everything, and that it was kind of freaky. Earthquakes are kind of,
yeah. Yeah, well, anyway.
I didn't want to know how an evacuation would actually go at AX if the earthquake had been serious. I'm glad it wasn't.
I mean, the earthquake on Friday, was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. The one on Friday was serious. That was a serious earthquake. That, again, biggest in the last 20 years. It's just the infrastructure has been improved so much that it doesn't really register that much. That would have been devastating 40 or 50 years ago.
7.1, 7.2.
Yeah, something like that. It would have
enough to freak out my mom.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, I got plenty of worried texts from people you doing okay? I'm fine. The restaurant I was in shook around a little bit. a little more than usual. Like, I did go because it was a big quake. Like,
the buildings
were rolling, and it shook for like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that. Like, I was worried. Like, since moving here, I've lived in Southern California for 15 years. And that is the most I've ever been worried that, oh, is this the big one? Is this going to turn into the big one here? And I did like go home to check on the cats and everything, make sure that the place wasn't destroyed or anything.
Yeah.
Like, cause I don't know, like I kept thinking like, if shit is like toppled, cause that was a lot of shaking.
Yeah.
Like I was just a little concerned. So yeah, I checked and everything like that, but it wasn't, you know, check around a bit. It was really it was really scary. And like if you looked at social media that night, it was like, I'm staying in tonight. Fuck this. Everyone was like scared out of, like really fucked. Earthquakes aside, saw the My Hero Academia premiere.
I did. I did see My Hero Academia, and you know, it was a little bit disappointing. Not because anything was particularly bad. It's just that nothing was particularly like gripping about it. And I mean, I know it's like Shonen Jump season 4 at this point, but when I go into a premiere after a break from a show, I kind of want it to really hype me up for the rest of the season. And it was just more setup. We got Deku, and he's gonna go do another internship, which they already did that. It kind of feels like a recycled idea. This time it's just going to be longer and he'll be paid for it or something. And so he decides to pursue an internship with All Might's former sidekick, who is, as described by the author in the manga, he's supposed to be like a very Japanese counterpoint to All Might, who's very American, I guess. So he's this tall businessman looking guy. He's got glasses and like a comb over, and he's kind of obsessed with humor, like maybe the general, like, what's it called? Straight man style humor. And so if Deku wants this internship, he's got to make him laugh. And in the meantime, we've got the League of Villains, and they meet up with this Yakuza dude who's wearing a mask that's reminiscent of Plague Doctors. And he's like, hey, make me your leader, because I know how to run things, because I've been in Mafia before. And they don't
just like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much. He just shows up. He's like, I have a plan. You guys don't have a plan, so I should get to be in charge. And they're villains, so they're like, nope. And then a very minor side character is killed. I don't remember his name or anything like that. It's just one of the like League of Villain dudes. And that's pretty much it. That's the whole premiere.
Note that was a 2-hour event.
It was, because there was like an hour and a half.
The episode is
that.
22 minutes long.
Yeah, we watched just the first episode. I was hoping it was at least maybe the first two, because I think that maybe would have worked better as far as, like I said, to hype up the audience for the new season. But instead, it was a very, very long Q&A with 5 dub actors, 1 Japanese voice actress, and she's the voice actress of The Invisible Girl and Mount Lady.
Creative staff.
I mean,
no,
she's
like
a good
screener.
Voice actress. I'm not trying to like.
Yeah, whatever. But 90 minutes is a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Like if you told me I had a 90 minute interview with anyone, I would be like, man, I better bring like 3 or 4 pages worth of long question, multi-part questions.
God. Yeah, and you know they just kind of went down the line, and because there were so many people, they only asked maybe 4 or 5 questions, but it would take that long to get through the entire lineup. And
I heard a lot of complaining about this event.
Yeah,
it was way too long. Well, like the thing is, the problem was that they put that before the episode, right?
Right.
They made people sit through that first and then get to the episode.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is like 90 minutes of interview hype for 22 minutes of setup.
and the episode itself was dubbed. And I mean, if you really have an attachment to the dub, maybe that's fine. I'd never watched it dubbed before, so I don't have a particular feeling about it, I guess. And I'm wondering if maybe that's sort of going to be a more common thing going forward, because if you premiere an episode, you know, 3, 6, 9 months before it's going to air, and you do it in English, well, maybe there's less concern of it being recorded in being recorded and heading over to Japan and, like, people pirating it or something. I'm wondering if it's, like, an anti-pirating measure at all.
No. I think they just figured the AX audience that would show up for this in America would want to see the dub. Hey, look, all these dub actors are already going to be here. Hey, the episode's done way in advance, so we can probably do a dub in a couple of days. Yeah, sure, I could see why. I mean, wasn't the movie dubbed?
No.
But the movie, I think they didn't have time to dub the movie. But they must have had... I tell you, if they had time to dub the movie in time for AX...
They would have
shown the dub.
Okay.
I betcha. And the fact... But the minute those dub actors came out on stage, that's when you know you're about to watch the dub.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see any other premieres?
Let's see. I saw Dr. Stone... And
right.
You know,
that was just the first episode?
Just the first episode. And I mean, it was like a day before it premiered on streaming services and stuff. So people have probably already watched it at this point. I mean, I thought it was okay. Like, I feel like its major draw is whether you're interested in ancient technology or not.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get to the season, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But was there, that was only like, that event was like an hour or something, right? Like, they didn't.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Yeah, they did have some of the Japanese guests for that. They had, like, the manga editor and maybe the producer or director to answer a few questions about that, but...
It wasn't 2 hours.
No, it was not 2 hours. It was...
Dang.
It was,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Any other highlights?
Man, Bisco Hattori, I mean, we'll have that up on the site, but it was really great meeting her and being at her panel. She'd never been to the U.S. before for a convention, and... you know, she's been a staple of shoujo manga for a long time. You know, we still got lots of fans of Oren High School Host Club. So it was really cool to sit down with her and talk with her and see some of her thoughts behind creating the characters of that manga. And she did a live drawing, which was cool, too. So, yeah, I guess that was probably main. Well, I also got to sit down with the Fire Force guy too. And that was also a really good interview that we'll have up. I'm really happy with how that turned out.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah. Look forward to all that stuff on the site. It'll eke out over the next couple of weeks. Like I got Comic-Con next week and then Otakon right after that. So it's going to be a lot of convention content coming.
Yeah. Up. Are we expecting, what guests are coming to Comic-Con?
Actually, I don't think they are. Like, not this year. I don't think there is anyone major this year. Or at least I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I haven't really put that schedule together yet, but I'll get around to it at some point. Comic-Con has become such a sort of a thing for us that, you know, if we already have people who are going and they're like, hey, do you want some coverage? We're like, sure, you know, but anime companies largely know not to make giant announcements there because they just get drowned out by everything else. So
Just do it at AX.
Not a big, it's a couple weeks after AX. It's like, if you're looking for attention, you're like, man, AX is so saturated. Where can we go to get attention? San Diego Comic-Con, maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm not your next biggest choice. I understand why Viz does a bunch of shit there. But they're kind of the only game in town when it comes to, like, people who might do something big at San Diego. But
right.
I think last year they brought Horikawa from My Hero Academia.
Yeah, they
did. And we got that interview. So, you know, this year, you know, I haven't heard anything, and if I haven't heard anything by now, ain't nothing happening. So
was Go Nagai at that last year? Or was he at AX?
He was at AX last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So mine, AX was pretty standard. It was really, really, really busy the whole time.
Yeah,
pretty normal. I did get to see that Evangelion footage that they premiered. I guess everyone got to see it because it was all over the internet.
Oops.
It was fine. You know, the first 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. It's a fight scene that doesn't really tell you much about anything, but that's standard for this series. Like, I think they did that for the second one as well. And it's just a fight scene that happens before the title card, and it is sort of. I wouldn't say notorious, but that's what they did last time, and it also told you nothing about what to expect from the film. So there's more Eva coming. I can't believe it. It's actually coming out. It's a little hard to believe, but
yeah.
Excited about that. Otherwise, like, it was, you know, my big observation, my big takeaway from AX this year, the thing I had the most fun doing, a couple of things, were just the panels that I did. Like, Anand's panel was fine. Thanks to everybody for coming out. I really enjoyed doing the journalism panel with everybody. Next year I'm going to try to expand it even more and have even more journalists from other publications up there. Thanks again to everyone who came out for that. But I was also on this thing called the Anime Trailer Screening Party that was run by it was a Tokyo Otaku Mode thing that was being handled by somebody else, and I was invited to be on this by Richard Eisenbeis, who does the occasional freelance for us, but it was me, Richard, and the MCs, the people who everyone was there to actually see, definitely was not me and Richard, was Joey the Anime Man from YouTube, who people listening to this probably know who that is, and Raina Scully, who used to work at Crunchyroll, who I've known for a few years. And it was 3 hours long, and they showed 47 anime trailers from both the summer season and the spring season.
Oh, geez, they did spring too?
Yeah, there was a bunch of spring stuff in there. It was probably like an hour's worth of spring and 2 hours worth of summer trailers.
Oh, jeez.
And then you're just supposed to comment. And it was pitched to me as like, well, you know, this is industry, so it's intended to be promotional, but it's not that they don't want you to censor what you're saying. It's just, if you don't have anything, if you only have something really mean to say, maybe hang on to it.
It's like,
don't
shoot from like the Bambi standpoint.
Don't be an asshole. In other words, like, if you really, really hate something, just try to temper it a little bit. Maintain sort of an even-handed tone, I think, was sort of what they were getting at. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. You know, sure, sounds fun, you know. So I went and did it, and it was actually a great time. And I didn't feel restricted in what I could say at all.
Oh, that's good.
Not at all. And the audience that was there, they were all there to see Joey and Raina, obviously. But they were really cool, like, kind, and they really participated, and everyone seemed to have a great time. And we were allowed to be critical of what we were seeing. Like, there was no feeling of restricted speech or anything. And we, you know, they certainly didn't say anything to us afterward. So it was cool. Like, yeah, they've done this for a long time in Japan. In Japan, they'll go for like 6 hours and do like literally every single trailer from every single thing. Yeah, which I can't imagine. I mean, I could, but
I can imagine it, but can't imagine doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nah, like, I could probably do it. I do like shouting over media, so it's something I am good at. So it was a very enjoyable experience. And if you get a chance to do it next, if they're going to do it again, I have no idea. Come check it out. It's a good time. It's also a pretty good way, like, to acquaint yourself with the season, because I don't always have time. I don't always go watch the trailers, largely because I know I'm going to have to watch one episode of pretty much everything anyway.
Right.
So I don't bother with the trailers. But sitting there and doing that was like, okay, reminded me, like, ticking off, like, okay, I got to watch this, you know, all this stuff. It was cool. I really appreciate those guys inviting me, and I had a great time. So, yeah. Anyway, nice. Another fucking anime expo in the bag.
Woo.
If I make it to next year's, that'll be my 20th.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt.
Don't do that.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt.
Don't do that.
It was bad enough that, like, I'm gonna bring you one of those little party hats.
It was bad enough that this year, instead of printing Anime News Network on my badge, they printed my birth year instead. And I was like,
I forgot
okay.
about that.
All right. Well,
that was good. Yeah.
Okay, then. As if I needed more reminders that I am an old man at this thing. Any other little anecdotes, or does that pretty much wrap it up for you?
No, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up. Everything else that was really good was just, you know, getting to see people I don't usually get to see, hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to bed by 10 p.m. every day because I'm old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final observation is that, like, Japanese industry is really heavy coming into AX right now. So,
right. Yeah, they made a bunch of...
Of panels, lots of announcements, and even the industry panels that I am used to are taking a lot of cues from the way Japanese industry panels are run. This year, I wound up having to do some news panel reporting myself, and so I saw Pony Canyon, I saw Funimation, Yen Press... And I've noticed a tilt towards, like, Funimation's panel was largely like, hey, pre-order this, get this pre-order bonus, it's out in 2 weeks. Yeah. You still have time to get the pre-order bonus from this thing. We're doing a theatrical event. And, like, it's not news. Like, there's no, like, announcements. But it's like, this theatrical event is coming next month. If you pre-order your tickets, you'll be entered into a raffle drawing for this piece of merchandise. Like, they were selling My Hero Academia loot crates and Funko Pops. And, you know, it's not... It's... This is capitalism at work, I suppose. So, like...
Yeah.
There it is. And, you know, and the Pony Canyon panel was largely, like... mostly just promoting events that they had later that weekend. Like, we're premiering this movie, and also this is a theatrical event. Don't forget to get your tickets now, and here's, you know, that kind of thing.
The Aniplex panel was the same way.
Same way, yeah.
It was just a lot of just franchise trailers.
Buy this stuff.
Buy this. Like, there were actually a couple people sitting behind me that started making jokes because there was just so many Fate franchise trailers because they've got, what, the Waver Velvet one, they've got new sets that are coming out. This, I think the only actual news announcement that happened there kind of happened in passing, and it's Demon Slayer going up on Toonami, but the rest was just all like pre-order.
Yeah, it's get your tickets. Like, I sort of assumed, now maybe I'm wrong, and if you're listening to this and have an opinion, you know, feel free to write in, Zach@AnimeNewsNetwork.com. I always thought that the appeal of the industry panel was not just to go and watch trailers for stuff you've already seen and be made aware of upcoming releases that you already know about, like, that have already been announced. The excitement was typically around, like, oh, they're going to announce something new. They have something new. I'm going to be in the room when they announce this. That's the excitement. Because the lines for those panels are hours long. Like, you have to wait, and they make you wait outside. So if you're waiting outside for hours just to walk in and get, like, a commercial...
Right.
Like, which I understand it was always a commercial, but I don't know. That just doesn't seem like it's like, hey, this is the box that comes out in 2 weeks. Pre-order. Like, yeah, okay. Are you doing or saying anything that I couldn't have just looked at your YouTube channel?
Or Amazon?
Or Amazon, like, upcoming releases? Is that the only thing you're doing? And I'm not trying to single out Aniplex here because, like, a lot of companies are doing this now, and it feels like that's the way it goes. And I totally get that the point is to sell. I understand that. It's just from an entertainment standpoint, or from a I waited in line for an hour to watch you guys get up on stage and do a thing. Bring in a special guest, which plenty of them did, I suppose. 11 Arts brought in some special guests, so that was nice. They didn't really have any announcements, but it was nice that they had. They brought in some guests, something like that. Something. Because if it's just like, hey, here's a bunch of new trailers for stuff.
Irrelevant at this point.
What's that?
I said if your programming has become, you know, talking about your pre-orders, you don't have any special guests, you're just showing trailers for things that came out seasons ago that people already watched on streaming, then your programming is becoming irrelevant to the audience.
Yeah,
you're not telling them anything they don't know.
Even if you already, if you just have one lame announcement, save it for the end, or if you really love...
Please don't save it for the end.
No, if you love the press. If you love the press, you're like, oh, I love the press so much, and I know that they don't want to sit through my hour-long commercial in order to get to the news,
so I'm
going to put the news up front. That's if you love the press, and we'll love you in return if you do that for us silently from afar. If you have an announcement, it will make the people in the room feel like it was worth going to your panel. If you make a deal out of it, even if you know it's lame or whatever, or bring a guest. But if it's just trailers from your YouTube, corporate YouTube, lame, I actually heard more complaints about that too this year than I've heard in a while. People at those panels going like, like, it's not that they're all a drag or anything. It's just I think you got to have more than just commercials to make it worthwhile. Like,
yeah,
it needs to be a commercial for something people haven't already seen or didn't already know about. I guess that's Anime Expo. Hey, there's also a new season of anime that debuted at the same time as Anime Expo.
Why do they keep doing this to us? Why haven't they listened to us and adjusted?
Yeah, why doesn't the entire industry run around a niche anime news website?
Please, just push everything out a week. Do us all the favor. We'd really appreciate it if you're listening.
So you've watched some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to go. So I have the preview guide page open here, and I'm just going to go down this list and talk about the stuff that I have seen. But let's start with you.
Oh, well, then let me also open that page.
Yeah, let's get on the
right
same
now.
Let's get on the same page, so to speak, here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Starting from the top, I watched Astra Lost in Space.
Okay, so first row, you're just out on all of these.
Yep, nope, didn't watch okay. this.
I tried to watch To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts and did not get through it. So we'll just go ahead and move on to Astra Lost in Space. I also watched this. A brief recap, just like, what's this about?
Okay, so Astra Lost in Space is about a group of kids who are going to go on kind of a school camp in space. We're in the future, and now kids just go to camp in space to, like, learn abilities or show that they can survive. It's supposed to be a very, like, contained educational environment. But then they're sucked into some sort of weird space black hole type thing and are thrown into space. And then they make it onto a spaceship. It's not their spaceship that they were on before. And they're very, very far away from where they're supposed to be. And they're going to hop around from different planets using the spaceship to make it back home.
Right.
Sound about right?
Yes. The name of the ship is Astra.
Yes. And the name of the ship is Astra. And the people in it
and they are lost
in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
What'd you think?
So I think the first volume of the manga for this for Manga Preview Guide a while back. I don't remember what I said about it, so I don't know if I'm going to contradict my opinion from the manga. But I think they're doing a really good job with what they got. There's some interesting cinematography in it. You got kind of a mystery going on because there's probably a betrayer in their midst, right? So you got your mystery factor, you've kind of got your Lord of the Flies setup thing maybe going on. It's also kind of horny. I mean, it's kind of horny. And I think that turned me off from the manga the first time because it can be a little gratuitous, but it's not awful. And I feel like the rest of the elements you can kind of put it aside.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like the characters and stuff go, you've got pretty much the Motley Crue going on here, different personality types. I think Aries Spring, who's the main female co-lead, I like her better in the anime than I think I did in the manga. I think she seemed just kind of dumber in the manga, or at least that was the takeaway that I got from it, was that she was sort of like a stereotypical waifu dumb sort of thing. But she came across better in the anime so far. And also I can't remember his name right now, but the elected captain of the crew, I like him better in the anime too, because I feel like in the manga, his sort of tragic backstory stuff felt more shoehorned in, where like they were trying to rush to get to that emotional element there for a payoff. But it came across a little more naturally in this, and I think that might also be because the premiere is like a double length, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fine. Like, I'll probably watch the show. I have also read the first volume of the manga, but I have been told that the manga gets really, 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 really good, and it also gets quite it gets pretty queer later on. So, it's got my based on that, it's got my interest. I think if I wasn't told, this actually gets really, really good. Like strong enough, like very strong recommendation from someone I trust. If I didn't have that, I would be like, yeah, all right, seems fine. Seems like a quality show, just didn't quite grab me totally out of the gate. So, yeah, but I'll keep watching. I'll keep it up.
Yeah.
Looks good. I like I like the widescreen thing they're doing.
Yeah.
What?
Did you watch Dumbbells?
So I did watch How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift. This is a show about a girl who's like, I'm gaining weight, so I should probably try to lose weight, so I'm going to join a gym. So she joins a gym, and there are other girls who are also going to join this gym or have also joined this gym. They have a trainer whose joke is he looks normal with clothes on, but without clothes on, he has this giant, crazy, bodybuilder muscle body.
And a normal sized head.
Yeah, and it's basically fan service comedy plus weightlifting trivia. Mm. You know, fitness trivia, I suppose. But for this first episode, it's weightlifting trivia. I'm sure it stays that way. I'm of two minds on this show. One, it is always a good thing to teach people proper squat techniques. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Two, main girl's motivation for losing weight is I'll never get a man otherwise, which fucking sucks.
Her friend is shitty. Her friend is just shitty.
Yeah, she has shitty friends and it's played for laughs. So I don't really appreciate what it's doing with like female body image issues. It's not particularly sensitive to that. Also, I believe that the mangaka and so the show is quite cowardly about actually showing women with muscles because all the girls are drawn as little like soft little anime waifu types, like,
yeah,
and then pretty, yeah, they probably stay that way. Like, I can't imagine that, like, over the course of this, like, I would imagine they probably get, like, I'm just saying that this dude doesn't seem like he's interested in drawing muscly girls, like, so they're coward. it's not really fitnessy, it's fan service, right?
Yeah.
That seems like the distinction to me. So I'm not gonna watch this.
No.
No, like it doesn't seem like terrible or anything. Like, I'm not like, oh, it's evil or whatever. Like, they are giving you good weightlifting advice. So if you're like just getting into weightlifting, yeah, the techniques they're showing you are accurate.
Yeah.
But it's also weirdly sort of like regressive in its gender politics. So
yeah. Yeah, like her friend's like a boxer, the one that's always giving her shit too. Yeah. And so I watched both episodes because that's about the time I tuned into it. But I found the regressive part of it a major turnoff. It didn't make me want to watch it. So
yeah, I did not watch Demon Lord Retry. Did you?
Nope.
All right, cool. I definitely didn't watch If It's For My Daughter, I'd Even Defeat a Demon Lord.
Nope.
Yeah. So here's the story on that one, listener, if you did not know this. This is a story about a man named Dale, LOL, who, is he sucked into a fantasy world?
No, I think this is just a straight fantasy.
All right, okay. Let's say he is just a fantasy man. He is not sucked into a fantasy world.
Right.
He's a boring, normal man. A little girl comes out of the forest, and he's like, I'll take care of you. And it's like a little girl. She's like drawn to look like she's like 7 or 6 or something like that. Like almost like just past being like a toddler.
Right.
And the show is like obsessed with how cute she is, etc. The show goes full bunny drop.
Yeah.
Full bunny drop. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, be happy, don't watch it, and don't look it up. If you do know what I'm talking about, then you will know. Stay away, ye places cursed. Ye shall find no purchase here. Turn back.
Yeah, I think I also read the first volume of the manga adaptation of this for Manga Guide.
It already is giving me creep vibes.
I mean, yeah. Once they start drawing the little girls a certain way, you kind of get a preconception that that's where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't always, but...
Not always, you know, but often
not
enough.
Not always, but, you know, you kind of just, like, you're a lot... The klaxon just starts going in my head. And, I found out through someone else who's read it that it goes... I mean, like, the last volume's got her in a wedding dress or something. It's just...
Gross! Disgusting. Yep. It's called grooming.
Yep.
It's extremely nasty.
Yep.
Ugh. Anyway. So, after that, Oh Maidens in Your Savage Season got animated. Did you watch this? What did you think of it?
I did. I watched it about 45 minutes ago. And I really, 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 really like it. It's very honest. And yep. I feel like it's coming from a place that... I can relate to as a former teen girl. It's really just on point about sort of being that in that in-between space of childhood and adulthood. And you start having, you know, puberty happens. You start thinking about sexual topics. You're scared of the sexual topics because it might mean giving up the innocence of your childhood. Are you ready to do that yet? It's intimidating.
Yeah, it's like a time of frustration and humiliation and embarrassment.
And
it's super real. I felt real.
So bad for her because all the girls are in a literature club together, which they more or less use as an excuse to read purple poetry and other stuff. And
books with sex scenes in them.
Yeah. And one of the girls has a childhood friend. They've been close. They've been neighbors since they were little. They grew up together, but he became more and more popular. And so she kind of pulled back from the relationship because people were giving her shit for it because she's just not, they didn't think she was good enough to be friends with him or what. She was being bullied. And, so the episode ends on, she's bringing him dinner that her mom's made because his mom's out of town and, catches him in the act of self-gratification.
Yeah,
and
she catches him spanking it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Zach can just spanking it. Sure. We'll go with that one.
What? That's what he was doing.
It is what he was doing. I said what he was doing as well. It's just we picked different terms to describe it. So, and it just sort of shatters her she had already started to think about him that way a little bit, but it just kind of puts it into her face, and now she has to deal with the fact that her childhood friend is not just like this innocent kid anymore that, they played in the pool together and stuff. He's now a dude who likes to watch women have sex on trains, which was kind of funny because he's always been into trains. And that was like supposed to be one of his cute points or his awkward, weird points is that he reads train timetables. And
yeah,
then she walks in
now
and
it's been tainted.
That's the porn he's looking at.
Now it's been tainted. It feels like the characters are kind of a split of like, here's all the different ways that this stuff frustrates you during puberty. Like, this is a show where the one girl sits down and is like, if you look at the Earth through geologic time, the entire history of humanity is only about 11 minutes worth of it, which means my meaningless life is only seconds long. So, I want to experience this before my meaningless life is over, which will be in the blink of an eye. And it's like, geez, like, and then some of the other characters seem to represent like individual anxieties that you would have around something like that as a teenager or, it's just like really well written. Like as an exploration of that subject, it felt like, okay, like this is the real shit. I'm getting the real shit here.
Yeah. There's the girl who she writes all the time and she's just sort of, she seems like she doesn't really attach, at least at this point, a lot of emotional weight onto sexual topics. She's like, there's just a guy that she talks to in a chat room and like tries out, sexting sort of stuff with, and that's kind of how she's exploring it from a safe distance, I think, is like, well, I can say these things and then see what happens and how does that make me feel sort of thing. And then there's the other girl who's very, very upright, and she strikes me as the kind of person who's like, well, sex is sort of a taboo topic and it should only happen under these, perfect circumstances. And also, I think she's got some inner turmoil about never being the one who's been picked. She doesn't consider herself sexually desirable. God, when they were making fun of her, when she like stood up and said some things to the girls behind her and then everyone started calling her an uggo and stuff like that. I was like, God, that was hard. That was hard to watch.
It's like, the manga like makes like the manga stuff that happens in the manga is just like, you just cringe on behalf of these people because like it's brutal. It's fucking brutal. It's really good. It's really, really good. So I'm glad people seem to be enjoying it. So that premiered on the same day as another show called Wasteful Days of High School Girls.
I didn't watch that one.
Okay, I did. And it is a good contrast to the Mario Kata show, the Mario Kata Variety Hour. I don't know. It is a crappy sort of mid-range high school comedy about really obnoxious girl and like kind of wants to distance herself from her two best friends from middle school, but she's just starting high school and they all meet up again. And it turns out they can't break out of their shitty patterns of being really obnoxious and immature. And that's it. And it's a full 23 minutes. and it's not funny at all.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. Debuted on the same day. Like, both about, like, I don't want to say ennui, but, like, the high school girl experience, like, you know, from sort of a ground level. Like, there's nothing fantastical about it. It's just kind of a comedy slash drama slash whatever. Mm-hmm. Wasteful Days is much more of a comedy, but if you wanted to contrast, like, which show like this is worth your time, and which one is perhaps not? Like, here's two.
You only got time for one.
Yeah. I saw the Dr. Stone, the most, like, hyped up, let's spend a bunch of money marketing this because we co-produced it thing. It was fine. It was entertaining. It was interesting. It seems like they've come upon a gimmick that could keep something running forever, like, say, a Shonen Jump manga.
Right.
I don't think they're going to get through all of human technological history nearly as fast as as they perhaps intend to.
Right. This one with my husband, and when they finally, like, it got to that part where he's like, we're gonna rush through human technological evolution really, really, really fast, and he just started laughing because they show, like, a rocket, like, during this. I'm like, you're not gonna start a space program.
I mean, look, 10 years from now, and this shit is still going and the writer's on fumes, then yes, they're gonna go to space at some point. I mean, technically, space travel happened before, like, an even bigger technological revolution. So
right.
They'll get to that before they get to, you know, widescreen TVs and cell phones and shit. So, it was fine. I don't know. I might just read it. I have the Shonen Jump app, which has the whole thing on there. So yeah. I might just read it because that seems like a faster way to do it. It looks great.
Yeah, it does.
Really nice animation. Lots of big teeth.
Yeah,
real
that's
thick, sturdy character designs there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to watch this thing week to week, do you think?
I'll probably watch it week to week because I tried reading the manga a while ago on the app. And I found the dialogue, like, more annoying for some
really?
Reason.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just because he's got that catchphrase where he's like, not 1,000,000%. Like, he says that a lot, and that's his gimmick, and it's just like 1,000,000%, 1,000,000%, 1,000,000%.
You're like, okay.
Please quit shoehorning this into the dialogue.
We get it. You have a catchphrase.
So I think they toned that down a little, is what it seemed like when I watched it. And I think the technology aspect is kind of interesting. In the first episode, they're trying to figure out how to distill alcohol to make a solvent. And it was kind of coincidental. I ended up going to a distillery while I was in California. And they had one of those things. I get the things to distill alcohol. And they even said while I was on the tour of the distillery, this hasn't changed since Mesopotamian times. And I was like, am I in Dr. Stone? Is that what just happened? Because so I got to see one of those up close, and they're cute. They look like little copper robot type shaped things. And anyway, I don't know. I guess I learned something from Dr. Stone and then got to immediately apply it to real life.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, I'm sure plenty of people will be watching that, and it's like an absolute shoe-in for daily streaming reviews. So,
yeah,
read all about it on the site. Same thing with Fire Force.
Yeah,
which
I like
premiered
that
also
one.
The same day.
Yeah.
Now, from what I have been told, now I have not read the manga, but this adaptation is an improvement upon said manga.
Okay. I have not read the manga either. So
it's
the
Soul Eater guy. And yes. People say that the Soul Eater adaptation was also an improvement on his original manga.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I don't know if people are just, like, kind of down on the mangaka or whatever, but it was entertaining. I can kind of see where it's going immediately, but, like, it was very entertaining, and the animation was spectacular. So
yes, yeah, that's pretty much what has me hooked on it is just the animation itself.
A lot of shows this season with, like, really good animation, I think.
Yeah. My cat is attacking the microphone. Sorry.
It's okay. Cool. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
She's just headbutting it, which moves it because it's like a secondary mic. It's hooked to the desk. So anyway.
Yeah. It's fine. I wasn't particularly excited by the story or anything, but,
right.
You know, yeah, it sure does look great.
Yes. Yeah. I'm watching it purely for spectacle. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch Granbelm?
I did.
Me too. What did you think of that?
I'm going to give it another couple episodes. I feel like I don't have an opinion yet.
It's Puella, Maggi, Wixos, Fate. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's a big mix of dark magical girl stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of mixed together.
I'm not really sold on the robot designs in general. They remind me of...
No, they look super 90s. Like,
they remind me of Dan Board Senki, which I haven't watched, but I've seen a lot of the key art and stuff from that from working in the encyclopedia. It's just the sort of... I don't know. They look like they're supposed to be tiny figures.
Yeah, like they look like Mecha from a show that would be on at 6:30 in the morning and mostly is there to sell a trading card game to children. Like that's what they look like they're from. Except, but they're also kind of 90s. Like, they look, it's the giant pointy pauldron shoulders, I think is what tips me off to the 90s stuff. But the story seems, I don't know. It's original. So this is,
there's no way to guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this isn't, this is the guy that directed the CG Berserk. But you can't blame
it.
It is. You can't.
It's Shin Itagaki.
Oh, wait, no, that's a different guy. No, that's a different show. That's Cop Craft. I'm thinking of Cop Craft.
Oh, okay.
Granbaum is an original show by the guy who directed. Oh, it's ReZero. That's what I'm thinking of.
The
guy who directed the adaptation of ReZero, but not the ReZero's author.
Right, right.
So you can't look to ReZero for storytelling clues. But this is the guy who directed ReZero. His original story, or the screenwriter's original story, I don't know if it, I can't remember, but it's an original thing, so it's not based on anything. And so I don't know. It seems like a lot of ideas crammed into one, but original. I like that. So anyway, I don't really know what to expect from it. I'm not sure I'll watch it week to week, but I'm curious. Like, I'll read the reviews and see if it looks like it's worth checking out. But, it's always nice to see an original production get made. Next, Lord Ilmoy, Two's Case Files. Did you watch this?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
Okay, so they did an earlier episode. It was like an episode zero back in, I don't know, last year maybe even. I actually really liked it. It was nice to kind of revisit Waver again. I thought it was, and the first episode reminded me a little bit of Indiana Jones, if that makes sense. Did you watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I was expecting to not care because I was like, why would I want to watch an entire show just about Waver without Alexander in it? Like,
right.
Why would I want that? The premise of the character is that it's fun to watch him bounce off of Alexander.
Right.
I found myself pretty involved. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this, and this. So, like, it does rely on you being very familiar with Fate Zero and already being invested in that. So, don't watch it if you haven't seen that, because it's not for you. But looks great. And I found myself pretty intrigued by the plot. Now, it looks like it's dipping immediately into, it's going to eke out little bits of an overarching story involving Alexander, apparently. It's going to eke out little bits of that over episodic case files is what I think it's going to do. So we will see.
Like Magic Sherlock Holmes sort of.
Yeah, we'll see if it can maintain my interest. Hopefully, you know, I'll definitely watch it long enough to determine whether or not it can hold my interest. But immediately, I was like, oh, cool. Okay, great. All right. Yep, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll probably be sticking with that one week to week, too. I liked it.
Up next, I'm literally just going through the preview.
Right,
here.
Right,
so,
me too.
I didn't watch Restage.
Nope.
Yeah. I did watch The Ones Within.
I did as well.
Okay, so this show is about, it's Let's Play Battle Royale. So a bunch of like Twitch streamers who are known, who are anime characters, like, If you're looking for an ounce of like social commentary in any of this, even though that premise right off the bat seems ripe for it, there is none.
No.
So it's just these are just anime characters. There's a hot-headed girl and this type of guy.
But she plays the action games. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's like nine, something like that, different types of Twitch streamers, and they get magically transported to, now they're in the game, and it's real life and death, and they get put through trials, and they have to get to 100 million views or likes and subscribes or whatever it is in order to get off the island. I wanted this thing to pick a fucking tone, because it kept going back and forth between zany bullshit comedy and What was the other thing? Like sort of dark, but it's actually serious. Like the whole thing felt like it was written by a middle schooler to me.
So outright, this is the worst thing that I watched.
Really?
For this? Yeah. Oh, out of all the, well, out of all the things that I watched for this podcast, this was the stupidest thing I watched. It was stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid and dumb.
I regretted it immediately. Like when I started it, it's like, I obviously didn't watch everything. So I have to make choices.
Right.
And it's like, I'll pick this. And for some reason, because I could just turn it off.
Yeah.
I could just be like, nope. I'll just say I didn't watch it. Nope.
Yeah. So I'm usually
some reason I let it get going.
I'm usually a sucker for any type of like death game anime. Like no matter how like dumb the characters are or the premise, I'll probably watch at least one or two episodes of that. I don't know why. It's one of my popcorn type things I like to watch. You know, I've watched some King's Game. I've watched what was that other one where they had like a weird device in their mouth that made them slaves? That was stupid. Watched a couple episodes of that. So I checked this one out too, and it was like, it was not dark. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, I mean, their first trial is there's a giant panda and then he befriends it.
And then he's like, no one's ever befriended the panda before. And it's like, this is badly written.
This is stupid.
Yeah, this is badly written. I just couldn't get that out of my... That's like, I feel like I'm like, every now and then, somebody will be like, hey, look at my original anime idea. Every now and then, and this is kind of what it reminded of the submissions on the lower end of that particular spectrum reminded me of this.
And I think, you know, they'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. I think this started out as a web manga, so it wasn't even published in a magazine. It was published on the internet. And the humor and stuff in it reminds me very much of the, like, being in middle school with my friends and, like, oh, so random. Let's have a giant panda.
Right, which I think
pandas were like hilarious for some reason when we were 14.
Yeah, that's, like dumb monkey cheese stuff and like this sort of weird obsession with casting everyone in your friend's group with like a role. Like, it really sucked. It felt so immature to me. Like, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah.
But if you're 12 and, you know, the only other thing you watch is like Fortnite streams, maybe this shit's for you. I don't know.
I don't know.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it's for me, Vinland Saga.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that a lot.
So, like, I could not shake this feeling, but this is literally, like, if it had been live action and it had come out 20 to 25 years ago and you had put a bunch of A-list actors in it, it would have probably won Best Picture at some point in there because it's exactly that kind of easily digestible history epic that's mostly about combat and, like, high stakes emotional betrayal and shit like that. Like it feels like it's paced and like all of that stuff exactly like movies like Gladiator.
I was just about to say, would you call it Gladiator?
Well, okay. I'm an unapologetic stan for the movie Gladiator.
Yeah.
This is really entertaining. So it just reminds me of that. Like, it reminds me of that kind of movie, which I love, or, like, Kingdom of Heaven, or, you know, stuff like that. It really reminded me that the Ridley Scott historical biopic when they were good in, like, the late 90s and the early 2000s. So it really reminded me of that shit, and I love that kind of thing. So, yeah, totally my jam, definitely going to watch it. I should have read the comics. You could have gotten the comics for really cheap recently. They were doing, like, a manga bundle someplace where it was $10 for everything current.
Was it in, like, print or digital?
Digital.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in, like, print, that would be nuts. Like,
yeah, because they're hardback.
Yeah, it's big hardbound. Yeah. It's had a choppy publication as well.
Yeah.
So, no, super cool. The show looks fucking great too.
Yeah. It definitely seems like a successor to the techniques that Wit Studio used on Attack on Titan.
Yeah, except now I don't have to watch Attack on Titan.
Yeah, you can watch this instead.
I assume that's going on your list for shit to watch.
Yeah, I'll be watching this week to week. It's like, is it the only show that Amazon has exclusively?
I don't know. Yes, I think so. Yeah.
So,
yes.
I mean, I'll keep using that, I guess.
Whatever.
Yeah, man, still relevant to me.
I hate having to find stuff on there, man. Yeah. So annoying. Like, half the time, if you put it in, you'll just get the manga and they won't even list the show.
The series are spread out pretty evenly between the other three services, too. So, I mean, that's
annoying. Boy, man, Funimation really showed up with a dump truck full of money this season because half of it is exclusive to Funimation, and in previous years that has not been the case.
Right.
So a lot of this stuff is exclusive to Funimation. Let's see. Did you watch Ensemble Stars?
I haven't watched anything else other than Copcraft.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I'll quickly rush through the other stuff. So I did watch Kochoki.
Okay.
Which is, this season's Oda Nobunaga's Are Here.
Now, I saw some of
the summer 2019 Nobunaga's.
What? Yeah, and I saw some of the stuff from that, and they were brave enough to do the man nipples.
So. Yeah, there's nipples. It is Fujoshi Oda. This is for you, Fujoshi. It's meant to sell can badges in Ikebukuro. What if he were a handsome teenager with an extremely BL, like, ship-friendly relationship with his closest friend, trusted ward? He like stands up to his dad in the first episode, indicating what kind of leader Oda Nobunaga would eventually become, you know, that right. kind of thing. It's there's a little bit of pageantry, but the character designs and everything remind me of like a PlayStation Vita Otome game. Okay. Like, it's very much that. It's nicely animated. I like the character designs, and like, it was kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
But you know, like, yeah, it's fine, I guess, but that is definitely what that is. I mean, well, it's also so, it's not like the story, it's not like the entire story of Oda Nobunaga. It's like, you know, once he was a teenager. And so that's what this is. It's like, like rad teen Oda Nobunaga, but there's no like skateboards or anything.
Dang.
He's just,
missed opportunity.
He's just hinting at the qualities of who he would become. Although it's kind of annoying. Like, in the first episode, he's like confronting his dad, and his dad's like, "Well, looks like you're just gonna have to kill yourself with a sword." And it's like, okay, well, if you're just gonna like foreshadow, like constantly show him near fires or
right.
having someone set fires near him or something, like, we'll just foreshadow all the famous things you know about Oda Nobunaga the entire thing. Although at least this time he's not reincarnated into like a little waifu or something, like, which yeah. is normally how it goes,
or a skeleton,
yeah,
or a robot
or something.
He's yeah. been everything, I think, at this point.
At this point, yes.
Yeah.
Other thing I watched was Arifureta from Commonplace to World's Strongest, based on the Smash.
Did it look as shitty as people were saying on the internet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it did. This is based on a smash hit light novel series. Super edgelord, super dark, super obsessed with game mechanics. So they literally do the, like, although like a lot of shows do this now, but they put yeah. all the stats on the screen and like they spend a lot of time discussing game mechanics. But it's like, I was weak, but now I've got to be strong on this brutal island that me and all of my high school class were delivered to mysteriously. So it's isekai warped to another dimension, but it's grimdark, my entire high school class, we'll see who's survival of the fittest now, motherfuckers, kind of.
Because he was bullied, right?
He was bullied for being a weak nobody. He was bullied for being a weak nobody. But now he's going to eat monsters to power up and show his fellow high schoolers who's the real king of game world or whatever the fuck. Whatever, man. Nope. Never mind. Copcraft.
I did watch that.
Is based on a manga by the guy who writes Full Metal Panic.
And it's got character designs by Renge? Murata.
Right. The Serial right. Experiments Lane guy.
Who
was also on BEM this season, which has not premiered yet.
It's not the Serial Experiments Lane guy. That's Abe. It's the
Abe. Right.
Yeah. This is
Last Exile.
He did the one with the planes. God damn it.
Last Exile.
Yes.
Oh, I'm confusing those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Last Exile guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
The show was a trip, man.
Why did I think that was Abe? That's gonna drive me nuts because I feel like I confused them more than once this weekend.
Really?
Uh-oh. Anyway.
Murata was at...
He was.
X, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't call him Abe?
No, I didn't interview him. Okay. Somebody else did, thankfully, who knew what they were talking about. otherwise, it would have been, so, Serial Experiments Lane. He'd be like, that's not me, that's the other guy. And he'd be like, oh, man. Welp, I've done it now.
I'll just see myself out.
Anyway, Copcraft. I enjoyed this, but it is literally a checklist of cop cliches.
Yeah, but I like cop cliches.
Do you really like them? Because you'll love Copcraft.
Yeah, so I watched a lot of Law & Order SVU. A lot of Law & Order SVU. And I watch all of Netflix's crime shit that they put out. It's just another one of those things that I eat like popcorn. Can't tell you why. Like, everyone's real excited for Stranger Things, and they just announced the next season of Mindhunter, and that's my shit. So
there you go.
There you go. So, yeah, I watched Copcraft.
This is literally, no fooling, grizzled detectives.
Yes.
Partner goes down in a hail of bullets and a drug deal gone wrong, but he gets an unlikely partner from the wrong side of the tracks who's going to show up and shake things up in his police department and perhaps inside of him. Like,
yeah.
That is exactly what the show is.
All right, what Zach hasn't mentioned is that there's also a fantasy world element.
Oh, right. So there's also, like, there's a giant fantasy world hovering over.
The drug deal was about a fairy that they were trying to...
Yeah, right. But when they go on that raid of that dude's, like, warehouse.
Right.
And they keep referring to Mexican gangs and stuff. And I just...
You're right.
I recoil a little bit at that because yes, it is obvious. It is very clearly someone who does not live in America's idea of American crime. And
right.
I just... it always rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say about it? Yeah, it's definitely like they watched a lot of Cops. Just straight up Cops. As in the film along show.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it pretty much, like you said, it checks all those boxes about chiseled, angry stuff from the 80s, kind of what it reminds me of.
Very much like that. But it's pretty well executed, and the animation is nice, and I'll probably watch more of it. I don't mind cliches. Like, not only that, but it crams probably like an entire season's worth of cop show cliches into like 22 minutes. So I have to assume that the entire rest of it won't just be these cliches strung together.
Yeah.
And it's charming enough that I'll watch more.
Yeah, I feel like it's also trying to harken back to sort of the edgy shit that I remember from anime OVAs and stuff like that. I don't know the last time that I've watched an anime where someone actually said, "Satan can suck my dick."
Yeah, it's a little...
Yeah.
That didn't make me laugh. I was like, hey, trying. But the whole show is, like, really trying. Like, that's one of the things, like, it's not... It does give me the vibe of trying too hard to be cool and so is not, but I like it anyway.
Right.
But it doesn't seem cool to me. It seems like a little, there's some flop sweat trying to be like, cool cop show. It's like, all right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. All right, buddy.
All we need is like a transforming car or something thrown in there.
Yeah. Or just more swearing and like a little bit more aggression. throwing the whiskey bottle needs to be thrown at some point.
Yeah, just up the testosterone all the way up.
All the way up. So that's the last thing you watched, right? You didn't... You're like, I'm waiting to marathon Symphogear, the fifth and final season.
So are the earlier seasons on Crunchyroll yet?
That's yes.
The
only yes, they are now.
All of them?
So now the 12 people on Twitter that constantly bother me to watch Symphogear, I can I will finally be able to say, like, okay, I'll get to it, instead of, I can't, it's... It's only fan subbed. They've taken away my excuse, so now I have to watch Symphogear, I guess.
Yeah.
The last thing I watched, I didn't watch anything else on this list aside from Given, which is getting some hype, I guess. Like, people are hyped about it. But it's... I've seen a couple of things floating around. One, people seem excited about it. Two, I saw someone talking about how the manga has a bunch of abuse in it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it wouldn't surprise me given it's a BL.
Yeah,
It is super. It seemed like super. It's nicely animated and everything, more so than you would expect for show. Because, like, look, BL shows typically get the short end of the fucking stick when it comes to animation.
Right.
This one looks all right to my eyes. To my eyes, I don't know if I'm wrong or not, but whatever. Super boilerplate BL. Like, you know, When Seme Met Uke is what this fucking is. Like, super boilerplate.
It's boys in a band, right? Like,
yeah, boy, like angry boy who's disillusioned with playing his guitar and who's in a band anyway, who doesn't give a shit about anything, walks up the stairs one day and sees a little twinkie guy with reddish orange hair, like, clutching a guitar that he was clearly trying to fix himself but couldn't, and his heart just melts. And thus, a reluctant romance, he reluctantly sort of becomes his protege and, like, visits him. And only when this kid is around does his true love of guitar playing come back. And he has a kind of a shitty thing where he, like, grabs him a lot and kind of tosses him around, but he kind of likes it. And It's not shown that, like, he just, like, grabs him, like, really roughly a lot, and he's like, don't you know, you stupid kid, you know, stuff like that. Like, that's that shit. It's that BL. It's supposed to turn you on. It's that right, BL right. shit, which is fine. Look, it's fine. I just, it's, that's what it is. This is Otome Road stuff. So if you're into that, cool. But I,
if it's your heart pounding, then yes, but otherwise
it's not striking a blow for equality.
Yeah.
It ain't. But it looks good. It looks good. If it's like 12 episodes or something, like, just as like, ah, sure, you know, I might throw it on in the background or whatever. Like, it seemed paced pretty well too. So yeah, whatever. But the praise it's getting and stuff, maybe like the manga is like really incredible and I don't know, and it's not full of abuse or whatever, but it seemed super boilerplate to me. So yep.
That's the hot take.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to put that on my soundboard. Anytime I have an opinion, there'll be a little Lindsay going, and that's the hot take. Okay, well, that about wraps it up for me. How about you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Awesome. Okay, well, we will see you all next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Play Music, Google, whatever it is. You know, leave us comments and reviews. It helps the show. We appreciate it. Thanks, and I'll see you all next week.